Our dear God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow together here in Thy holy presence this afternoon in the name of Thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come to Thee upon the basis of His merit, the merit of His own perfect obedience, and the perfect righteousness that He has procured for sinners like us. We thank Thee for the One who has entered into heaven then to appear in the presence of God for us. We come to Thee rejoicing that there is a Saviour and a great High Priest at God's right hand who continually intercedes for those who know Him and who love Him. We come to Thee, O Lord, in this occasion when death has visited a family and a loved one has been taken from that family, and yet, Lord, we thank Thee has been taken home to glory. Lord, we rejoice today that we meet here not to sorrow as others who have no hope, but we meet here, and while there is the sorrow, and while there is the pain in the heart, yet, Lord, we rejoice that we gather here to remember one who was a child of God, who was saved by sovereign grace, who was washed in our Savior's blood, and born of the Holy Spirit, and today is with Thee in glory. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt receive our thanks and praise for Thy goodness and Thy mercy and Thy grace toward Mrs. Jemison. And Lord, we thank Thee for the time when she was born of God, and we rejoice in the walk that she had with the Lord down through the years since that time. And we praise Thee that now she is among the spirits of just men made perfect, and is with Christ, which is far better. Remember her family here today. We pray for each one of them, asking Thee, Lord, to draw near, to grant Thy consoling presence. We remember her husband George especially, and we pray that Thy dear child will know Thy touch upon him, and know Thy nearness. And we remember Elizabeth and John and Donna and Diane and their spouses, and we remember all the grandchildren who are here. And Lord, we think also of Mrs. Jemison's family members who are watching on today in this service, and we pray that they also will know Thy presence and know Thy help. Lord, draw near to us, we ask of Thee in this service. We pray that we will know Thy touch upon our hearts, and that the Lord Himself will draw near. We thank Thee for the sympathizing Jesus, who comes our dripping hearts to cheer. The One who draws nigh in the time of need. Lord, draw nigh today, we ask of Thee, and bless us richly. Bless this funeral service, and may Thy hand be upon it in every part. And may the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and be exalted. Hear and answer prayer, and we shall give Thee all the glory and all the praise. We pray in the Savior's name and for the Savior's sake. Amen and amen. Now at this point in this funeral service, before we have our opening hymn, can I first of all extend a very hearty, sincere welcome to all who are present. We want to thank you for coming, and I speak on behalf of the Jemison family. I know that your presence here today is much appreciated and is a great source of encouragement to them, and therefore we welcome all of you. And could I also extend a welcome to Mrs. Jemison's family members who are watching on today by way of internet. And I trust that as you watch on and join with us in this service, you will know the Lord's presence and the Lord's blessing. Could I just make a couple of announcements at this point, and then we'll move on into the service. There will be refreshments provided by the family in the church hall following the interment, and therefore all who can return to the church hall across the way after the graveside service are warmly invited to do so. And in relation to the church hall, it is available to perhaps some of the ladies and children who may not be going to the grave for the service there. You are invited to go over after this service and remain there until we return from the grave, so that facility is available to you at this particular time. And then, can I just mention, by way of expressing thanks on behalf of the family, the appreciation that they would feel toward the Antrim Hospital. First of all, the renal unit, the staff there, for the diligent care and attention that was given to Mrs. Jameson over the past years. And then in more recent days, to the medical staff, they also expressed their thanks for the care that Mrs. Jameson received in her final time of illness. And I know that they appreciate all that was done for her in all these ways. Now, could we take our order of service sheets and turn to the opening praise, which is, "The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." And we will stand together to sing the Lord's praise. At this point in the funeral service, I would like to pass on a word of sympathy to the Jemison family and family circle. I've known the family for many years and have always enjoyed their friendship and their companionship. And on this occasion, as a minister of the church here, I want to speak on behalf of the whole congregation and on behalf of all the friends who are gathered here today for this service. And in expressing sympathy, I know that I speak for you all, and I trust the Lord will draw near even while we meet together in his house. First of all, to Mrs. Jemison's husband, George, to him especially, we extend our heartfelt sympathy on this occasion when his dear wife has been taken from him as far as the parting on earth is concerned. Our brother George, many years ago, visited Canada, met his wife there, and was married there, and then they returned here to Northern Ireland a few years later to continue with their married life in this country. And therefore Mrs. Jemison was by birth a Canadian and spent these 45 years or more here in this country with her husband and her family. And to George today we extend sympathy in the Lord's great name. And to Elizabeth and her husband James and their children, Philip, Alice, Jonathan, Emma, Lydia and David. To John and Roberta and their children, David and Melissa, Christopher and Chloe. To Donna and her husband Paul and their little ones, William and Sarah, Stephen, Timothy and Emily. And then to Diane and Paul and their children, Jonathan and Grace, and Joel and Philip, Faith, Lois, Caleb and Ruth. To these members of the immediate family circle who are here today, we extend our sympathy in the Lord's name. It is my prayer, and I know the prayer of the Lord's people, that your hearts will be comforted and that God will draw very near and meet your need at this moment and also in days to come, when the seat will be empty, there will be the vacancy, and you will miss a wife and a mother and a grandmother. And we trust indeed that the Lord will give the grace that is needed. And then could I again direct my attention to those who watch on from Canada, and I mention especially Mrs. Jemison's two sisters, Marie and Lily, who are watching on today at this time. And I know that your hearts will be full of sorrow and sadness. I am aware that there was hardly a week that went by, maybe more often than that, when you were on the phone with your sister. And today you will miss her very much indeed. And I trust that God will bless you and comfort your hearts, and that you'll know his presence at this moment. I have here a little note to read out from Mrs. Jemison's two sisters, Marie and Lily, and it reads this: "We are mourning the passing of our beloved sister Anna today. Our prayers and our thoughts are with George and his family. George and Anna have four wonderful children, John, Elizabeth, Donna, and Diane, who gave them beautiful grandchildren. They all came to know and love the Lord in the same way as their parents and grandparents did. We know Anna was very proud of her family, and we say to the family, be strong for each other and continue in the way of the Lord, as your mother and grandmother would want and know that someday you will see her again. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. We know Anna has now seen Jesus in the fullest sense. She has come face to face with her earthly father and mother and brother. They will never again be parted. There are many family members and friends here in Canada who are thinking of you today. In closing, a song comes to mind that we think says it all. Safe in the arms of Jesus. And we truly believe that this is where Anna is today. We thank Mrs. Jemison's two sisters for sending that note. And we trust again that the Lord will bless you both richly. May I also mention Mrs. Jemison's sister-in-law, Mrs. Viola Earle, and her family. Mrs. Earle is the wife of the late Alec Earle, Anna's sister. And therefore, to you also we extend sympathy and to your family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To any other family members in the outward circle of friends who are here today, we also express sympathy in the Lord's name. And we pray that on this occasion the Lord will draw very near and will comfort all and do you good as he himself has promised to do. And we assure you of our prayers in days to come as the Lord gives help and grace to do so. Very glad today to have the Reverend Ian Kenny with me in the pulpit. He is the minister of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church. He is Diane's minister and her husband Paul and the family. And Paul's an elder in the congregation there. We welcome Mr. Kenny to the pulpit here. And he's going to come right now, please, and read God's precious word.
Two readings from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then also reading from the Revelation and the chapter 7. Just before I read the scriptures, can I bring a personal word of sympathy to the whole Jemison family circle? We do feel your loss deeply at this time. And also we bring the sympathy from the entire church in Dromore. And I would assure you of our love and of our prayers at this sad time. We have been praying for you as a church, and we will continue to uphold you at the throne of grace. And we trust that the Lord will strengthen, sustain, and comfort each one of your hearts at this time. We have the scriptures of truth for our comfort and encouragement at such a time. And I would like to read from 1 Thessalonians 4, commencing at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then also from the Revelation in the chapter 7, and commencing to read there at the 9th verse. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. Amen.
I want to thank Mr. Kenny for being here today and for taking part in this service, and we appreciate that very much. As I thought about the funeral service here today for Mrs. Jameson, my mind was turned to that great chapter, John chapter 17, and to one particular verse in that chapter which I want to read just now. It is verse 24, John chapter 17 and the verse 24, where our Lord says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. The contents of this chapter are in the form of a prayer. It is Christ's prayer, and it is, of course, commonly referred to and rightly referred to as the Lord's great high priestly prayer. It was prayed that night before he died, when he was alone with the 11 disciples. And yet it does encompass all believers from that time and onwards, as we are taught in verse 20, where he says, Neither pray I for these, that is, the 11 disciples with him, for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word. And therefore it's a prayer that does encompass all of the Lord's people, whether with the Lord then, or right down through the generations of time until this very moment. It is a prayer that contains many marvelous petitions and appeals from the heart and the lips of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And here in verse 24, we have one of those petitions. And it does relate to the situation, the very situation in which we find ourselves today, in that it refers to the homegoing of the believer, to be with Christ, where he is in heaven. The Lord prays here, and he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Notice how he speaks here. He says, I will. He's about to die. On the very verge of his death, he utters this, I will. And as it were, he makes his will on the verge of his death. And he reveals his will in these words. And it is this, that all who know him and all who trust him will be given a place with him in heaven. To be with Christ in heaven, therefore, is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ for all those who know him. And in that sense, heaven itself is one of the legacies which the Lord bestows upon his people. He says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And that means that the Lord's desire, the Lord's prayer for the spiritual well-being of his own children only takes in their time on earth, their pilgrimage here, but it also takes in eternity itself. His desire for their well-being extends beyond time and goes right into God's great eternity. For here we find our Lord, as we pointed out, making this petition that all of the saved will be with him in heaven, and therefore in answer to his prayer. This is a prayer. Let me say right now that this prayer has been answered for Mrs. Anna Jemison. It's a remarkable thing just to keep in mind, as I've already intimated, that when the Lord prayed that night on the verge of his death, and he prayed these words, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And since it included all his people right down to the very end of time, in his great mind that night, he had Anna Jemison. And now his prayer for her has been answered. Now she's with him in heaven as he desired and as he prayed on that very night, of which we read here in these marvelous words. This teaches us, as far as believers are concerned, it teaches us the attitude that we should have toward the deaths of our fellow believers. This is a Christian funeral, in the truest sense of the word. It is a funeral service for a dear woman who was born of the Spirit of God in the land of Canada many, many years ago, when as a teenager she knelt down and she sought Christ and she passed from death unto life. And therefore we meet today to remember one who was saved by grace and who walked with God down through all those years, and now she has gone home to glory. This is a funeral service for one who was a true believer and who was known as a true believer by her family, but also by others in wider circles. A godly woman, a spiritual woman, a woman who had a love for Christ, a woman who had a prayer ministry, a woman who interceded at the throne of grace for her family and saw them all saved. And therefore, we are taught by the Lord's words the attitude that we should have toward the death of a believer. Yes, believers do die. The time of their departure is appointed, as many scriptures tell us. The Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. The Apostle Peter said that that time was also drawing near for him when he wrote his second epistle. And he said that he knew, as the Lord had made known to him, that soon he would be with Christ. He says there, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Yes, believers die like all other people die. The time is appointed. And when believers die, those who are left behind sorrow, because there is the parting, there is the grief. And throughout the Word of God, there are many, many instances that we could draw to your attention where we read of men of God weeping sorely because the loved one was taken away from them. But what we need to remember today as we gather here before the Lord, and as I've already reminded you, is that the passing of the believer is an answer to the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want the family especially to think about that and to dwell on that. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted Anna Jemison with him. And that teaches us, that helps us greatly with regard to how we deal with her death. He wanted her. Now, why did he want her? Well, this very chapter supplies certainly one reason, and that is because she was His. She was given to Him by the Father. We only read one verse from this chapter, but the whole way down these verses you will find the Lord saying over and over again, "Them which Thou hast given Me." And Anna Jemison belonged to that company given to the Lord Jesus Christ, given to Him as a gift by the Father. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ one day, at the great day when He comes again, He's going to stand before the Father and He's going to say this, as we find in Hebrews 2, "Behold, I and the children which Thou hast given Me." They were given to Christ. And therefore, His children, His people, He wants them to be with Him. And He wants them with Him because He bought them with His own precious blood. He died for them, He suffered for them, He gave His life for them. He took the cup of their damnation, and thank God He drank it dry. And therefore, having suffered for the ungodly and for the sinful, for that is what believers are by nature, having suffered, having died for them, having endured hell itself for them, is it not right that they should be with Him? And certainly it's right. So they're with Him, and He wants them with Him because they were given to Him by the Father and because He bought them with His own precious blood. But let me tell you another reason, and perhaps one that's the most consoling reason of all as to why His people are to be with Him. And it's this: because He delighted in them. Now, the Bible teaches us that Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. I've already referred to the time when George and his dear wife met. And I know that George had a deep delight in Anna, and always will have. But let me tell you, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ has a far deeper delight in the redeemed soul than any of us could ever have. Because He is the bridegroom, and His people are His bride. John the Baptist said one day, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." And that's so true. And therefore, since the Lord Jesus Christ was married, as He is to every believer, was married to Mrs. Jemison in that spiritual sense, He delighted in her and He prayed that she would be with Him in glory. And it is that great truth that we see standing out here in this text today. And it's that truth that helps us as believers to deal with the passing of our fellow believers, and especially the one who is a dear loved one like she truly was. That's what will help you as a family to deal with that. She belonged to Christ, first and foremost, and now she is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And another thing I want you to notice from these words is that since believers are taken to heaven in answer to Christ's prayers, then their passing is for their good. Has to be. The Lord prayed, "Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given Me be with Me." And the way in which a believer goes to be with Christ is through death. And that means that the passing of the Christian, the death of the Christian, is for the Christian's good. There's nothing ill, there's nothing about the believer's death that should cause us any concern. Why do I say that? Well, the time is right. The time is right. I know that the family, and I was with them a lot, and I witnessed this, I know that the family did not want to let her go. And that's natural. That's natural. But you remember something. The time for her to go home was right. It was the Lord's time. And therefore, it was right and it was good. And more than that, the purpose was right. And that's why the passing of the believer is always good. The purpose of it was right, and that the Lord took Mrs. Jemison home to heaven, away from everything in this world that is vexing, that is wrong, that is dark, that is wicked. Let us think of that for a moment or two. She is with Christ, which is far better. These are the words of our Lord through the Apostle Paul. Far better. Far better than the earthly situation. Far better than the circumstances of sickness and illness. And then the wider circumstances of a world that's full of darkness and wickedness and all that goes on around us. And now this dear woman has been taken away from all of this. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, the righteous are taken away from the evil to come. And that means that right now, she is beyond the reach. Eternally beyond the reach of everything that is ill in this world. All that's vexing and all of the darkness, all the sin. She's beyond the reach of that forever. Never again will she be in the presence of a sinful society. Never again will she know what darkness is, what sorrow is, what trouble is. All of these earthly things that have come upon the whole human race because of the fall of man. Therefore, her homegoing is right because the whole purpose of it is to deliver the believer from all of these circumstances here in time. And as we think about that, and of course there's much more that could be said on this very fact, that the passing of the believer is good, it is right, it is for that person's eternal blessedness and eternal well-being. Let us just turn it right round and say this to those here who are not saved, that your passing, if you die the way you're living, your passing, while it will be at the time God has appointed, for it is appointed unto man once to die, it will not be for your good. There will be nothing blessed about it. There will be nothing by way of the bliss and the glory that Anna Jemison now has experienced and thank God will experience forevermore. Your death, I tell you right now, will not be of that nature. It will not be of that kind. It will be surrounded by darkness and misery to go out into a lost eternity, to continue forever under the wrath and the curse of God. Let's get these facts straight. You're also facing death. You're facing eternity. You're facing the end of earth's journey. And you will go out one day from this world to stand before God and to answer for your sin. And oh, I tell you right now, how necessary, how essential that you give thought, careful and deliberate and considerate thought to the saving of your soul and to your deliverance from that wrath that is to come. The Lord's desire is that His people will be brought to their true home. You see, Mrs. Jemison has now arrived home. The Bible teaches us so clearly that those who are saved are but pilgrims and travelers through this world. They do not belong here. This is not their home. And therefore she has now gone home. And when the Lord said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, He was therefore saying, I want my people at home with me. And that is where she is. And let me say this. There will come a day of glorious reunion. when her family and she will all meet together in the Father's home, in that land that's fairer than day. All that it holds and all that it will bring for those who love the Lord and who know Christ and who are trusting in the Savior's merits and atoning death. Finally at home in glory. Finally with the Lord. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised again, all of these things come to pass that the Bible tells us are most surely coming to pass, then this prayer will be answered in its ultimate form. Because the Lord says here, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now Mrs. Jameson already beholds the glory of the Lord. She's there in her soul. She's at the very throne. She's in the Lord's presence. There's no doubt about that. But soon we will lay her body in the ground, and it will rest to the resurrection, and then it will rise, transformed. The same body will rise again, and will be made like unto Christ's glorious body. And the great reunion in the Father's house, in answer to Christ's prayer, will take place. And then this petition will know its ultimate fulfillment. I ask you today, as we come to the end of this funeral service, just about, to think of what the Lord says here. To realize, my friend, that you're not going to be here forever. Far from it. And as you know are, you're not ready to meet the Lord. You're lost. You're without hope. You need Christ. And I know it will have been the desire and the prayer of the one whose passing we meet to mourn today, that you would be saved and that you would know the blessed man of Calvary and be found sheltering in him, trusting only in his merit and in his precious blood that he shed for sinners, and resting by faith alone in that great once and for all sacrifice that he offered for sin. Therefore, as the Bible urges you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. And even this very day, come by faith alone and rest in that blessed Savior, and be assured then of being in that great company. And you hear in this prayer of Christ, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Let us take our order of service and we will turn to the closing hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. We'll stand together when we have the music and we will sing this our closing hymn. now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of the Lord's dear people this day, both now and until Jesus comes. We pray in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen.